Good evening, everyone. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the August 2nd Village Board meeting. Roll call. Trustee Harris is not here yet. Trustee Genrick.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green is excused. Trustee Dennis.
Here.
Okay. I am going to make one modification to the agenda to move item number 16 up to item 12B or 12A and make the current 12B. Do I have any other requests for modifications to the agenda or a motion to adopt?
So move.
Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Who wants to talk about water or water main flushing? It's an exciting topic. Craig.
It's just continuing. Another week or so.
Very good. Thank you. And as you all probably know, next Tuesday or on August 9th is our partisan primary election. Get out and vote. There's a sample ballot on tonight's agenda. If you need any directions, call Village Hall. We'll be happy to help you. Anything else on that?
Other than absentee ballots are available, you can come into the office and vote absentee. We are open until 4 o'clock. On Thursday and Friday, we will be open until 5 p.m. You can also request them by mail until Thursday.
For the spring election, Alloy did extremely well in terms of voter turnout, but we didn't come in first in the area. So get your neighbors out. Let's come in first this time. Welcome, Trustee Harris. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Okay. Any other announcements from staff? Yes, Mr. Clerk.
Yes, I just wanted to let the board know that we received a grant from the Friends of the Fox River Trail for $2,500, and that was to go towards a project that we're working on down at Sunset Park. It's a small trail loop project and invasive species abatement that we've been working on for the last couple of years. So the Friends of the Fox River Trail were nice enough to give us a grant of $2,500 to assist in that.
Thank you very much, Friends of the Fox River Trail.
I'll put in a little plug for the Friends for the Trail group. They're actively recruiting members. And, you know, I think the trail is used by a lot of people, you know, local as well as visitors and all the rest. And anybody that's got any time and energy to spend on the Friends of the Trail would be greatly appreciated. They do have memberships like $10 a year, so it's very inexpensive, and they would welcome all new members. There's talk of them merging with the Friends of the Mountain Bay Trail and putting those two groups together, so watch the news for that.
Thank you. Any other staff announcements? Any announcements from the board? I have one announcement, and that is from time to time we have an opportunity to get into discussion in our meetings, and just to make sure everything stays the way it should, when I ask the board members when addressing a topic or an issue, that we address all address the board collectively and we don't engage directly with any one-on-one discussion. And likewise, when village residents come up and talk, we talk as a group and we don't direct them or direct comments directly to a person. And that was a practice of the board for many years, and keeps things happy. Okay. Public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak tonight on any matter that is not on this evening's agenda? Yes, ma'am. Come on.
Hi, I'm Jody Van Diver, 709 East Alloway Avenue. Can't tell I've been here before. You know, we voted, most of us supported the Quick Trip that was built. I was disappointed when I went in there to find that about one-third, at least one-third of that business is a cooler for alcohol and a humidor for cigars, and there's no hot food section. And some of you might remember, I like the grilled cheese. I'm a little disappointed with this. I felt we should have been told about this. Okay. Did we communicate that to the Quick Trip people?
Can we share that information? We will.
Thank you. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was the, and I talked to Trevor about this, was the farmer's market and how it's growing and everything. We love that we have a farmer's market. First, I'll say that. I'd like to do that before I whine again. I've been attending it since it started. And this year, about half of the parking spaces here are taken up with booths instead of over in that parking lot. So I ended up having to park way over there, and so did some other people, including some handicapped people. Further, that also takes spaces away from people who are residents who are coming here to conduct other business. And I understand Bellin has put some restrictions on how we can expand and everything, but I think we either need to talk to them about that or perhaps consider doing it, having our farmer's market at a little later time so as not to conflict with their employee parking, maybe.
Okay.
So, and to mention that to Trevor. So.
Well, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Good evening.
I'm Marion Koss. I live at 547 Karen Lane. And I'm here to remind the people here that we need a lot more parking at Riverview Park. Riverview Park has five areas for softball. There's nine kids on a team, at least. That means there's 18 kids for each of the areas. That's a lot of kids, about 90 and probably more, because they usually have extra players. There just isn't enough room there for 90 parents to park their car, and the grandparents and friends and neighbors, etc. I want you to be aware that this is a problem and it should be looked into before someone gets hurt. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. Oh, and Marion, after our meeting at St. Matt's, I have talked to Mr. Clark, our parks director, and we're looking at it. But thank you very much for coming tonight. Yes, sir.
I don't know if this is the proper form.
I'm sorry, could you state your name and address?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Don Rosnowski. My address is 2685 Bittersweet Avenue.
Thank you.
And I've never been to one of these meetings at all, but I was moved to come here, and I'm not sure, like I said, if this is the proper form, but you said we can talk about anything.
You can.
And this falls in that category.
There you go.
I've lived in the Galloway for about 20 years, but my reason for being here tonight is that going back to a date of June 5th, there was a big storm in Alloway. High winds had come through later in the afternoon that day, and after the storm went through, I came to find that my next door neighbor's tree had fallen in my yard, fallen on the fence, fallen in the yard, knocking out the power, and the power is out for probably 24 hours. It was late in the day on the 6th of June, the day after that, when we finally got our power back. But as you can imagine, I was left with a pretty huge mess in the backyard with this tree down. So, left me a big mess to clean up. My neighbor Aaron, who's here tonight also, he helped me and my next door neighbor by cutting up the tree. But of course, that left the mess to bring out to the front yard. And I basically did that myself over the course of 3 days. If there was that much there, it took me that long to bring it out there. And as I had done a few weeks before that, when I had, this was from some tree trimming, I called the village and asked them to, it wasn't the week of brush pickup, and I asked them what I needed to do, and they said, well, they were very nice about it, and they said, we'll come pick it up. And they did within 24 hours, which was awesome. So when I called this time, I was told that they were going to come the following week. Leave it out there, you're fine. They said, we'll come next week, because that's when the brush pickup was. So I thought, okay, it's all out there. Then 2 days later, on the 9th of June, I got a notice in the mail saying that the brush was too far over the curb, and that I had 48 hours to move it, or I was subject to a $200 fine. So I wasn't even really aware of that law, that rule. So, but you know, being the citizen and the proud member of Alloway that I am, I immediately made plans to move that everything back up to the curb. I was leaving for vacation that week, but I put it off for a day just to do it. Aaron helped me again with that. We spent about an hour and a half or so, I'd say, solid, of just in a hot day, just moving it all back. But, you know, I know the rule's the rule. So then I left for my vacation thinking that everything was great because it looked good, and I was leaving town, so I didn't think anything of it. Well, then time goes by here, and this was the week of June 5th, and last week then I got an invoice along with a $200 bill for this, which surprised me, especially, you know, the time that had gone by and everything. But more than that, what surprised me was that I had it all back. And I guess I do know that some more rain and maybe even another storm came through in that time from when I pushed back to the curb and had left town. Who knows? But like I say, I left things looking really good. So, like I say, I was pretty surprised about that, and I wondered, I guess, a bit why, first of all, they were canvassing the neighborhood on the week of a storm like that. I mean, obviously, and there were a lot of trees in my neighborhood that were down. I don't know, you know, how everyone disposed of theirs or anything like that, but I was a little curious about that, and why maybe even a special pickup couldn't have been done that week, with that being the case. Let's see, what else am I going to mention here? You know, I think that's about it, really, but I didn't know the exact way to go about appealing something like this, but, mainly wanted to, just because of the natural disaster that happened in the neighborhood that day, you know, I wanted to appeal to, like, the fairness and the decency and the empathy even of those that are responsible for, like, checking on those types of things. And, I by no means left it there. I took that letter very seriously and moved things back. I would never just have left it there like that. And that's pretty much, that's all I have to say about it. So I don't know, you know, if there's someone else I need to talk to about that, or if there's a procedure.
Did you talk to staff? Anyone from the staff? In there?
Yeah, I talked. I made 3 or 4 calls last week, and that's why, that's kind of what led me here, because the last call I talked to the supervisor of that department said, well, you just got to go to the village board meeting next Tuesday at 6:30. And then, you know, I didn't see anything really about that on the agenda, so I thought this was, I guess, maybe my time to say something about it. It did seem, though, that each person I talked to was sort of passing the buck, and they said, no, it's not, that's not my, doesn't fall under my job, you know, talk to this person or that person. So finally I just went to, I think his first name was Mark, but he was like the head of the whole department.
Okay.
And that was him that asked or said to come to this meeting.
You did the right thing.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Well, can we ask staff to look into that? Mm-hmm. But, we can do it and see what we can do, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
But thanks for coming. Now, don't just wait for a complaint to come.
Yeah.
They're fun. Wait,
is the Bachelorette on tonight?
Isn't that on ABC?
Thanks, Mr. Osnell. Just to tell the truck is here. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the floor? Yes, sir.
Well, should have gone Big Brother.
Good evening. My name is Bill Swayze, 1600 South Irwin. I wasn't planning on coming up here, but I just wanted to provide a little more information regarding this last gentleman that spoke. I had kind of a similar situation. Oh my gosh, it's been probably a couple years now. But I had brush put it out at the appropriate time, not in the street, but up on the lawn by the curb. Didn't get picked up on the pickup day. I knew from experience that sometimes guys, you know, run into a different problem or something, and they'll get it next week or whatever. So I just let it sit there. I got a letter from Roberts, you know, going to find me and my next born child and all this kind of stuff. What I learned from it, I talked to Jim, who was the street foreman, and I'll tell you what, that guy is really a credit to Alloway. He's been around a while and knew that he'd never had an experience with me before. And he said, you know, when did you put it out? I told him, he said, you know, sometimes we do miss on occasion. There's no excuse for it, but sometimes it happens. So you have two gentlemen who are working on sort of the same problem, acting totally independently, going different ways. And that's when you talk about that, I hope that maybe that might enter the discussion a little bit.
Thank you very much.
You know,
yeah, that's not a perfect science. And I do think our staff tries their best, but that's why you bring them to the board or to the staff so we can take a look at it for you. But thank you. Anyone else like to speak to the board?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I belong to the Historic Alloy Society, and I do a lot of studies on, in addition to buildings, and I do studies on the cemeteries. And in addition to your Red Brick Chapel that you'll be talking about later today, I think that it'd be appropriate for the village to look into the status of both the Alloway Cemetery and Woodlawn Cemetery to be put on the National Register as historic cemeteries because they meet all the guidelines and requirements for a cemetery. And the Red Brick Chapel is a magnificent property that I also support that being on the National Register. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Hello, Judy.
Judy Pope, 2375 Riverside Drive. I just want to compliment the board and the people who work so hard to put the meeting together about the five-year plan. That could not have been done quickly. That has taken a lot of time, a lot of effort, and kudos to you. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Kudos to the staff. They did a great job of putting that information together, and thank you for recognizing them. Would anyone else like to talk? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to item number 5, action regarding reconsideration of request from the Historic Preservation Committee to fund the remaining balance for the nomination of the Miramar Drive Historic District, the Roger Minahan House, and the Herman A. and Lillian Grayling House to the National Register of Historic Places. This had been tabled to this meeting, because it's a discussion we had 2 meetings ago and a decision we had 2 meetings ago. And in order to revisit that, we need to have every board member who was at that meeting and voted on that issue in attendance at this meeting. We're missing one last week, and we're missing one this week, Trustee Green. So we have no other choice but to table it again until the next meeting. Item number six, public participation, use of stadium tax funds. Administrator Lynn.
Well, thank you. Again, what I'm going to show tonight to those that are in attendance is the results of this survey that we did online through the month of June. We just kind of walk through it a little bit and kind of start to the discussion as far as what will the village do with the funds. So there are several options, but we want to start that discussion. And if it's saving it for a rainy day, that's obviously one of the options as well. But anyway, the survey itself was very well received. And we had 839 completed the survey. That included some that physically came into the village hall in Philadelphia, and those numbers were included in the survey as well. Some of the unique questions, again, was to get an idea if you own or rent your home, and the overwhelming number was those that own their own home. Another category that we wanted to get an idea as far as what is the length of your residency in the village. And the slide here shows that out of the 839, 174 are 0 to 5 years, which that's a nice thing. You are having some turnover, some newer families move in, which is a great thing to see. But some of the other unique aspects are those that have lived here for a long time that completed the survey. We had 160 that have lived here 31 plus years. In fact, there were a couple that completed the survey that have been here 60 to 66 years. So, very impressive. Oh, that's the video I want to read. I'm sorry, what was the other?
Are you a resident?
Resident? Yeah. Here's that slide on whether or not you own or rent your home. And again, overwhelming number own their own home. And these were the categories in which individuals could select how they felt that the village should invest the funds. Debt payment, economic development, property tax relief, a combination of all the above, or other, please specify. Under these, please specify, we had 324 responses, which is, again, very impressive. Letting people think outside the box and or, in some cases, give solitude to some of the areas, like street improvements or parks or water improvements. So those are all part of the other. Again, 324 comments came through. I gave that to the board 2 weeks ago, hoping that you would find some time to take a peek at it and get an idea on how the residents were feeling the best use of the funds would be based on comments alone. And all those comments are available. It's been on our website for a couple weeks. Looking for something to read. There's something there.
It's very interesting.
Entertainment. What I did in going through the comments, trying to break them up into some categories. Any comment that was relating to streets, and it could be street improvement, sidewalk improvement, water main replacement, curb and gutter, any of those sort of things. Out of the 324, I counted 200. Is pretty overwhelming and kind of gives a good indication on maybe how most people are feeling that let's invest into our infrastructure and roads. The next highest number of receiving any comments for what the village should do was 72 for park improvements, and that could be recreational programs to physical improvements in parks. And we had there was another category that was an array of different items ranging anywhere from redoing our zoning code to various others. Economic Development received four comments as support of doing something and giving back to the taxpayer. There were 19 comments referencing give it back to the taxpayers themselves. So we've been discussing this for a very long time, and that's fine. I think that that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to gather as much public input as possible before any decision was ever made. Again, the decision doesn't have to be tonight. It doesn't have to be 2 years from now. There's no sunset clause to this decision, but it's one of those that, you know, it's sitting there, and what is it that we want to do with it? It is a decision to let's let it sit for a few years, and we should make that known to the public as far as the direction the board is feeling the money is best used. Excuse me. On July 20th, we had a public information meeting that was discussed by Judy. On July 5th or 20th, a public information meeting, we had about 50 residents that showed up, and the intent was to talk about the five-year plan for street reconstruction projects. Craig did a wonderful job putting the information together, as well as the other staff from the engineering department, and the price tag is quite high. We're looking at $19 million in the next 5 years if those are projects that the board were so choose to take on. So if you look at the turnout that we had, it was not bad. It was an invitation was mailed to every household. Problem could have been that the information was sent out long before the meeting, and maybe people just forgot about it. But anyway, we had a very nice discussion as far as what roads and how they're selected and what is the whole reconstruction and cost factors associated with each and every road. And Craig had a list of the roads that are anticipated over the next 5 years. And it is quite a lengthy process. There are a lengthy list of streets that need some major attention. So I'm not trying to lead the board into any thought process, but I think it's between the survey, the way debt relief, and certainly you could classify street debt relief or debt payment, because we're not going to incur additional debt to take care of some of these roads. Maybe some real consideration should be given to funding some of the road improvements. And there is a difference between the total reconstruction and the maintenance aspect. Mr. Barron did not go into the maintenance aspect because those are just streets that are being resurfaced versus the total reconstruction. Total different method. So I wanted to keep the discussion going. We do have it posted that the board would be discussing this evening and again on August 16th. When a decision will take place, well, again, that's up to the board when we feel that they've gained enough knowledge from or insight from the residents to make that final decision. But if it is a decision to spend any of the funds, resolutions need to be drafted and approved by the board. So there is a process that we have to go through to follow the Department of Revenue. So with that, welcome your feedback, your comments. Again, it's something that we've been trying to make sure that we are extremely transparent with this. It is everybody's money, and to do the right thing with this. So
thank you, sir. And you brought up the meeting on the 20th. If on the 20th we had a meeting at St. Matt's School where Mr. Burnt went over the cost of future projects and what that would mean to tax base or utility bills. And if you didn't know about that meeting, I'm guessing you're not on the email list, so please get on the village email list. And I thought that was an excellent meeting. Secondly, is the presentation on the website, Craig? The presentation has a lot of good... I'm sorry, Brett.
And it was videotaped as well, so they're working on just making sure it's cleaned up and you can hear it much better.
Okay,
and
great.
That will also be placed on the website.
Okay, great. The presentation that Craig gave is on the village website. It has all the information, and I think you'd find the information very interesting as property taxpayers. Are there any comments from the board on this issue? I know we agreed at the last meeting that we would, for the next two meetings, have this on the agenda, allow public input, have discussion if we want, and I would guess that the meeting after that or somewhere near after that, the board would then turn into an official discussion on it. But Trustee Dart.
I'd like to ask Craig if he could, you know, take a look at if people are leaning toward streets or repairs or things like that, what we could actually do with that money. How could we best use it in that area? And let us know to see if that's where we feel like we get the biggest bang for our money. I mean, in the cost of street reconstruction, that is a very small amount of money. But maybe in some resurfacing or something, we could gain some ground there.
Yeah, we'll give that some thought. Give you a couple options.
Thank you.
Good idea. I received a comment about the use of funds, or at least a portion thereof, and I didn't see it in here, so it probably came afterwards, and that is that during the corridor study, probably one of the largest public issues were the ability, or was the ability, to cross Riverside safely to the Fox River Trail and to have those places. When we reconstruct the highway in 2020 and 2021, we're designed or planned to have, I think, up to 9 crossings throughout our entire corridor. But that's a ways off. We don't know if that'll happen. And so someone made the recommendation to find crossings, at least one on the north end, one on the south end, where we can have a safe crossing with something such as a hawk crossing, something that really stands out and is user-activated or actuated so we can protect our citizens as they cross. So if we could add that to the list officially, I would appreciate that. If there's no objection from the board, I'll suspend the rules and invite the public to speak. Rules are suspended. Would you like to speak on this?
Yes. I would like to see...
Marion, I'm sorry, could you come up here, please? And the reason is we tape these audio, so thank you.
Marion Koss, 547 Karen Lane. I would like to see everyone benefit from the money. Most of the people here are homeowners, but we still do have renters. And also, I would like it spent on roads, so that the homeowners and the renters both benefit. Also, the handicapped and the shut-ins, and we have them right across the street. And trucking. Everybody in Alloway benefits from trucking, and it requires the roads. So I would really like the money put on roads for everyone's benefit.
Thank you, Marion. Would anyone else like to speak on this issue? Our county clerk.
Sandy Juno, 616 Dauphin Street. I took part in the survey, and what I felt was really important to me was to make some improvements in the parks. I spent a lot of time there with my grandchildren, both at the Optimist Park and Green Isle Park, and I think specifically at Green Isle, they could use some new equipment out there, but I think a good idea for both parks would to consider the splash pads. Because sometimes it is very hot out there and they're heavily used, and I think it would just be a nice thing to add to the parks. Okay.
Thank you, Sandy. Yes, sir.
John Harrington, 560 St. Grace Boulevard. I don't know what our infrastructure piping-wise is for our village, but I would think that that tax money would be well spent going there, because it invariably means the roads are going to have to be damaged, at least some cutting and digging, and then that money can be going back into resurfacing. But I think that infrastructure is probably very important to us.
Thank you very much. Judy.
should have sat in the front row. Judy Bowe, 2375 Riverside Drive. I like the idea of the crossings being put in well in advance of the highway to get across to the trail. But I have a question and a suggestion. The suggestion being, could you also put one in the middle of the village? So this way, we've got at least three places where people can get across that highway safely. And also, I would be interested to know how much it would cost to do these three projects, thinking that if the roads are the most important, or the infrastructures, whichever they choose, that maybe a portion of this could be divided for the safety of people getting across that highway. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And the Judy, the third crossing, we have one currently at 172 that allow people to get across.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Judy.
Jody Van Diver, 709 East Alloway Avenue. I was reading some of the comments on that survey, too. And in between the humorous ones, my impression was that the two top complaints that I saw were infrastructure and water bills. And if, as Penny says, this amount of money would be a drop in the bucket towards our infrastructure, how much would it impact lowering our water bills by paying off debt or whatever we have to do to lower those water bills?
Great. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Hello again.
Hello.
Bill Swayze, 1600 South Irwin. I have some scribbled comments here, but before I get into that, I want to direct some comments to Brad's presentation. I'm hearing that, you know, this money belongs to everybody. I assume that everybody that lives in the village paid that stadium tax, that extra 0.5%. But yet, some of the things talked about to spend the money on seem to benefit a small group rather than everybody in the village. And I'm going to cite street construction. There was a whole bunch of people that cited that. But I'd be willing to bet you that every damn one of them meant their street. Doesn't satisfy everybody in the village. And why are our streets in that kind of condition? You know, obviously that's something the board needs to look at. But it is just a drop in the bucket, and you're going to have a whole lot of unhappy people when it wasn't their street that got done with that money. I'm not trying to rush things here, but Brad did mention that there is no urgency about deciding what this money is going to be used for and actually spending it. Sounds logical, but I think before you put that in granite, that it would be a good idea to make a cost-benefit analysis. What kind of interest can you earn in the meantime compared to what kind of savings you can achieve during that time by spending the money now? Just a suggestion. Several months ago, I think maybe around six, I'm not sure, then Village President Randy Gast conducted an open forum session regarding this very subject we're talking about again tonight. What to do with the stadium tax refund. He directed that a list of the recommendations that came out of that meeting be recorded and maintained. See Penny's nodding yes. after listening to everyone else speak at that meeting, and there were a lot of people there, I recommended using the entire amount to pay down the water utility debt, thereby lowering the water bills. As I turned to leave, the audience applauded enthusiastically. One entry, oops, let me see, I can't follow my own notes. Disappointingly, the only recommendation to receive applause does not appear on the current list of ideas, contrary to President Gaff's direction. That's kind of disappointing. There is one entry towards the bottom that says, apply towards debate of Central Brown County water, end quote. I don't know what that refers to. It doesn't sound like the same issue to me, but I could be wrong on that. So, I'm back. I took my time to come to a meeting, made my presentation. I'm back. I've read all the recent survey responses online. There were quite a few that read, and I'm quoting, give the money back and lower the water bills and debt reduction. I submit to you that the board can satisfy all three of these objectives in one single action. Apply the entire fund to reduce the water utility balance, refinance the debt at a lower interest rate. I understand that the rates are really low right now, and it would be on a lower amount, and lower the water bills by a corresponding amount. As a result, everybody who pays a water bill in Alloway would benefit with a lower monthly bill. And this should result in a greater payback, actually, than if we just gave them the $50, whatever it is right now. Should result in a greater payback over a longer period of time because those bills go down and they're always going to be that much lower than they would have been years ago. Coming. And it satisfies one of the three requirements for spending the money, which of course is debt reduction. This is a quarterly water bill current from Green Bay. It's for an active Green Bay couple. Children are gone and out of the house. It's for laundry, cooking, dishes, bathing, watering house plants, watering plants in the yard, landscaping. This is their most recent quarterly. Alloway is monthly. This is their most recent quarterly bill. It's $88.59. And I'll gladly show this bill to anybody that wants to see it. I have redacted the personal information. I was away last October and shut my water off while I was gone. I used zero water in the month of October. My monthly bill, $32.67. If you quarterize that, that's $98.01 per quarter using no water. By comparison, $88.59 in Green Bay was using water on a normal usage basis for a couple. About $10 more per quarter in Alloway than in Green Bay, but in Alloway with no water usage. It's no wonder that so many people complain about water bills in Alloway, and this isn't the first time this has come up. Folks on a tight budget, for example, Social Security, disability income, number of children in the family, could be a big deal. I suggest to the board that the survey could have a broader application, however, than just to spend the stadium tax refund. It is an opportunity to also gauge dissatisfaction by residents as to various Alloway matters, some of which have been mentioned here tonight. I will close by quoting three of the online survey replies. One, return it to the taxpayers. It's not your money to keep or decide how to spend. A refund check to all would be appropriate. I'm certainly not advocating that. I did not vote for the extra 0.5% to give it to the county, only to the stadium. It's not your money. Give it back. Number two, I believe refers when it talks about three options. I believe it talks about debt reduction, tax relief, or economic development projects. Number two, return the monies directly to the taxpayers. The most seriously damaged infrastructure is the public trust and the elected officials to honor their role as stewards rather than continually taking and never returning. These aren't my words, folks. Any of the three options could be very deserving, but the dollars spent there will do nothing to impact the public trust. Sending the money back to the taxpayers has an intangible value, far greater than the dollars, not attainable through any of the other avenues. It demonstrates integrity, fidelity, and respect to the taxpayers. And finally, number three, pay for water pipeline debt to lower water costs. There it is. It showed up, finally. But I don't see it on this list.
I think if you change the word debate to debt, you probably found it.
Is that it?
Yep.
Apply towards debt essential. Okay, wonderful. I appreciate
there,
that.
Bill.
Thank you. I'm glad to know that. I feel better about that.
Well, we'd love to have you have a debate with Central Council.
Yeah, that's right. What?
No, it's there.
And finally, because of what was said earlier about the survey and who lived where, I have owned my own home here in Alloway for the last 26 years. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for being here tonight. Would anyone else like to address the board on this issue?
Yes.
My name is Sue Murphy, and I live at 1431 Garland Street. And I just want to thank Mr. Swayze for telling it like it is and saying what I want to say, because he's very eloquent. Thank you.
Thank you. Would any? Yes.
Paint another picture from what he said. Excuse me. Jody Van Diver, 709 East Alloway Avenue. I live by myself. I have two cats. I have no hose. I do laundry every 2 weeks. I drink bottled water. Occasionally I take a shower. Not tonight. My bill is $47 a month. Really? And another thing that I have brought up in the past is, at which point is this going to impact our ability to sell our homes versus Green Bay? We're right next to them. All I have to do is look at the water bills. just food for thought.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to talk about this issue?
How much is the debt?
That's a longer discussion.
It could be a very long discussion, actually.
And we talked about that at the question was, how much is the debt? We talked about that at the last meeting on the 20th, and if you'd like to go online and take a look at that, you can see that information. Any other comments? Well, thank you, everyone, for being here. Thanks for your comments on this issue. I saw Mr. Lang taking copious notes and correcting a typo.
But I think his game would be well worth it.
Okay, we'll pick up the rules. Any other comments by the board?
No, but I think it's safe to say we share your pain. We're also, I think, property owners and get water bills. And I have a son that lives in the city of Green Bay, so we do compare them on a regular basis. So, yeah, it's expensive.
Okay, well, thank you once again for your public participation. Number 7, action regarding scheduling a hearing to consider sign code changes. Do I have a motion on this item? Let's get this over. Trustee Darby.
I'll make a motion to schedule a hearing. Do I have to pick a date?
Nope, not right now. Okay, do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Trevor.
I just wanted to point out from the last meeting, we discussed these changes that were presented before the public hearing. I just wanted to, again, not go over the entire document, but there was the question Trustee Green brought up about historic signs. I did add language in there. Doesn't appear to be working, but it is in there, as well as just one correction I noticed about the total percentage of message center signs. So, other than that, it's the same document as last night.
Okay. Do you have a recommendation for a date for a hearing?
The first meeting in September, I believe it's Tuesday after the day.
September 5th. Trustee Hart, would that be okay to amend your...
That would be September 6th, if I'm not mistaken. Right. Not 7th. I only know this is my birthday that day.
Yes, sir.
I remember looking at it.
I'd be the first to wish you a happy
Thank
birthday.
You. Thank you very much.
Nice way to work in your birthday.
Okay, so is it okay to amend your motion for the first meeting in September?
It is.
Trustee Harris, are you okay with that?
September 6th.
September 6th. Penny's birthday.
Yes.
Can we put that on the agenda?
Please.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing scheduled. Motion passes. Action item number 8, amendment to facade improvement application. Trevor made some changes based on our input at the last meeting. Do I have a motion on this issue? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve with one word addition to item 6 on the general requirements. I did send a quick note to Trevor just in terms of the last line, adding the word match after $10,000 so that we make sure it's a $10,000 match allowed per request.
Okay, do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion?
I would like to just talk about why we looked at changing this. Is there a reason? In my mind, and it was just in my mind, it's not in this document, is that people would only be eligible once. So I just took that for granted when the document was produced, that they would only be eligible once. I'm not saying that's what we need to do. I'm just questioning why it came on.
Trustee Harris, would you like to?
I think it came up because of the possibility of a smaller business having a couple of instances, one this year, one the following year, where let's say they only need $2,500, as opposed to some of the others that we've been seeing where people have been putting through more than a $20,000 request and they're maxing out at the $10,000. It allows for that flexibility for both a larger business and a smaller business.
And it also, we had an instance a couple of meetings ago where we had a request for one property owner, but they had two separate projects going on simultaneously, and they put in for two requests. So putting in a total of over 40 series.
Yes, that was part two.
That makes sense.
We want to share the love, not give it all to one person.
Right.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Agenda item number 9, Mayflower offer to purchase agreement, request to extend timeline. Suspend the rules in 1 second. Mr. Bino, just 1 second, please. We'll ask Brad to fill us in, or Trevor, whoever wants to talk, unless Craig wants to talk to you.
Let's talk about tonight.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Recent discussions with Mr. Vino and his engineering and architecture staff, it appears that the deadline set last month of August 5th will not be met. So because of that, we have an amended timeline in front of you. Should the board wish to amend the deadline, the conversations with the engineer and the architect, it sounds like this timeline is a little more realistic to meet the deadline or to submit the material needed. However, it does push back the project closer to winter, so that is something to keep in mind.
Trevor, do you recall the dates of the original timeline? And then the second timeline, because if I'm not mistaken, this is the third timeline.
The original one? Brad might have that. Looks like July 15th was June 17th.
And then we went to August, and now we're going to September.
Correct.
But the closing is still the same, October 28th, as it was in the present proposal. Okay. Some of the dates in between change, but that final closing date is the same.
Still the same.
Right. There's always the option before, though, of moving that closing date sooner.
Okay, so before moving into any kind of discussion on the topic, do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Ginnert.
I would move to approve the extended timeline.
I have a second. Trustee Atwood, any discussion? Would you like to suspend the rules and hear from Mr. Bino? Mr. Bino, would you like to come up and talk?
Would you like me to?
We'd love to have you.
Here I am again. Chris Bino, 316 Warren Court, Mayflower Greenhouse. Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate that. The one thing that's a concern is we did hire an architect, and with him, an engineering firm, and our surveyor. We got going on this project, and we were working on it during this month, and it got to the point where the architect was communicating with Trevor. It appeared that this Friday was not going to be met. We were hoping that we could get 2 weeks out from the committee meeting, and that's usually what the requirements are. we didn't quite get to that, and they put me on this meeting. There is one concern as far as my position is that I was presented with a contract from the architect and the engineering in the amount of $29,000, and I'm totally accepting and willing to pay this for those services, but to be prudent, I would ask the board for some assurance that if I'm spending $29,000 on architecture and engineering, and actually the majority of this work is exclusive or unique to this property. So if I was denied by the board, I couldn't take all of this work and move it to another property because it's unique to this property. So I was going to basically ask if there is any assurance that if I spend this money and we come in on the deadline that we're drawing upon now, that I could have some assurance by the village that we're going to get approved for this project. Otherwise, I'm flushing $30,000, and that's something that's hard for me to swallow at this point. So it's just a question, and I don't know what protocol is on that, but I am asking for some sort of assurance that if I spend money and make the deadline, that you'll approve this project and we can go forward, and the money wouldn't be wasted.
Okay. How far into the process have you gotten?
Well, we're probably halfway. So, but I haven't signed the contract with the architect yet. And they started working, and I said, "Well, we should probably get this straightened out. You guys are working." So, I do have a copy if you guys would like this. Trevor, Brad, if you want to see this, just let me know. So I'm just curious as to if the village could give me the insurance that if I did all of the work on this exactly to specifications, would that be a possibility that I could get some assurance from the village that you'll approve this project if I'm spending this money? So that was my question. You know, it doesn't have to be answered right now, and you could let Trevor and Brad know, and they can let me know.
Okay. And are there any questions for Mr. Bino from the board? Mr. Harris.
Similar questions to the last time you were talking with us in terms of the deadlines slipping. And it seems to continue to happen. I realize the closing date would remain the same, but the other dates where we asked you directly about will these be met, are you comfortable with them, do you see any issues with them, or words to that effect, we're missing them again.
Right. Now, and I personally would ask I would prefer to have no deadline. This is a very unique situation that I'm buying the property from the village. If I was buying this from private, or I bought it from a private seller, I would just do this work and then call Trevor and say, "Hey, I'm done. Here's my stuff." And then I'd get put on the agenda, and that's how it'd be. This is a very stressful situation, and I have to come up in front of this board. This is stressful for me to come up to this board every month and explain why this hasn't happened. And but I am much further along than I was a month ago. I have a completely different team on this, and they are working diligently. But it got to the point last week that the architect was talking to Trevor and saying, "I don't think we're going to make this." So it was prudent. I'm here before the deadline on Friday, so I hope that my being here today has some weight. Okay? I don't know if that explained it. I
want to make sure you're aware of at least my concern, and I believe asking everyone individually, I believe they share that as well.
I completely understand.
What is the likelihood that either if we continue on with an October 28th closing date, that the I realize all construction cannot be completed in 2016, but will the foundation be poured? Will, what construction is planned for 2016 and not waiting for the spring of 2017?
At this point, I'm in the architectural phase, and we want this open by May 1st of next year. It's just, we wanted it open May 1st of this year.
I remember.
But the scope of the final approval to someone who's not a developer or an engineer or me, the scope of that is just monumental compared to what I read. And then you start talking to an architect and an engineer, and they're like, this is a $30,000 project. And I was never told that before two weeks ago. So I really didn't want to come in and address the fact that if I am spending this money in advance of being approved, that there would be some assurance that this was not going to be a wasted venture on our part as far as the expenditure of this capital. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Bino?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
More of a staff question would be, based on what we know so far about the project and the plan, obviously it meets zoning and a number of other requirements. Where could the project potentially jump the tracks? I mean, the location is fine, the zoning is fine, the design has to be approved by the Plan Commission and all the rest, but it's pretty well in place, is it not? We've got clean, it's not a brownfield or anything like that, so we're good that way.
It still does have to go through the final PDD. It's preliminarily approved by the Board and the Plan Commission. There could be a number of things. There's a lot of plans that we haven't seen that we're expecting to see for that approval that could hang things up. I don't think it could be addressed, but
could we, you know, since we're kind of pushing a fast track by the developer, can we push ourselves a fast track it as well to move it along as quickly as we can from meeting to meeting and get him going?
We are required by state statute to have a 15-day hearing between the Plan Commission and the Village Board approval. Aside from a special meeting, we're as close as we can get.
Okay.
Anything else, Justin? Kendrick?
Trevor, even whatever the worst case possible scenario was, is there anything here that would completely stop the project from proceeding? Because I don't think you've heard anything negative from the board overall. I think our concern has primarily been to stay on track and keep it moving. Is there anything that would be insurmountable as far as addressing?
Nothing that I really foresee. There is the issue that hasn't been discussed yet of stormwater for the site, for the use of the amount of land. I don't want to speak for Craig or for the engineers who review that process, but there isn't a lot of impervious surface on this site. There's always the unknown of what's underneath the ground, but I don't think that I can think of. I don't know if anything insurmountable that it could come up, but again, I want to knock on wood because
you never know. But at the same time, if something comes up, it should be addressable or able to be corrected, or even if it's some extraneous thing that we're not even aware of, I'm sure somehow it can be worked out so that we understand there's a continuing and ongoing relationship between all entities looking toward the achievement of the final goal. And I don't think that's changed any. I don't think there's, there may be problems. There are always problems along the way, but I think that that's something that earnest and concerned members or parties to an agreement to work together on to try to resolve. And it seems like there's a little bit of bobbing and weaving going on, and we don't I don't think that we're doubting the decisions we've made to this point. Well, I could be an error in that comment, but...
Well, I'm not taking a vote on that.
No, I know that. He's such a snotty guy. That's not he's a silly type. I retract that stuff.
Anything else?
I will keep my mouth closed.
Please don't. From my perspective, I don't see any way we can't say, I don't think we can guarantee that if you spend the money, it's going to go through. I would surely ask or suggest that the enthusiasm with which this board has invited you in and shared our enthusiasm for the project and that of the village residents, I would think that if and with having preliminary approval, not knowing everything, but assuming that there aren't going to be any huge surprises and that you'd be willing to deal with anything that comes up, I, as a developer, would feel comfortable in going forward. But that's a choice you're going to have to make individually.
Okay.
I hope that by us extending the deadlines and trying to work with you shows our enthusiasm for the project. So from my personal perspective, if you do what you say you're going to do and it meets all of our village code and everything, I'm good to go. But
okay.
But I surely can't say that the board is going to approve it.
Right.
Okay. We hope we do. But just like you're asking us to trust you, we're asking you to trust us. And I think we've developed a pretty good relationship. And
I do too. I just wanted to point out that this is the initial dollars that we're going to spend before approval.
Yeah.
And everybody was aware that we're spending this money on top of all the other money that we promised to spend. So maybe that was the point I was trying to make as well.
We appreciate that.
Okay.
Thanks. If there's no other problem, we'll continue to suspend the rules and invite Mr. O'Rourke up.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I completely agree with Chris. I've read the purchase agreement, and actually the board has the power to revise the purchase agreement that they entered into, to delete the requirement that it be a planned district development, and move forward right away with the current zoning that's there. It's commercial zoning, it's perfectly permitted, and you can do a developer agreement the same way that you did the developer agreement on Old Chapel Hill, and he can move forward tonight with your assurances. So that's where I would suggest that you do, is remove the planned district development requirement, do a developer agreement, and then just move forward and get rid of the nonsense of the arbitrary planned district development that was put in place on this property. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion on the table to approve Mr. Bino's request for an extension to move the next date for submitting plans to the Planning Commission to September 12th and subsequent dates. We have a second. No other discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bino.
Thanks.
We're looking forward to it.
Okay, we are.
Action number 10. Item number 10. Action regarding the request to waive fee and allow alcohol consumption for current kickball classic at Riverview Park. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart.
I move to approve.
And a second by Trustee Dennis. Any discussion?
I believe they've had this for several years now, and there hasn't been a problem with it. And we're not, this wouldn't be handling it any different than we did in the past. Am I correct, Chris?
That is correct.
And any funds they raise are to support some of their projects, so it's a not-for-profit kind of endeavor.
That is correct. They are non-profit.
It is a little different, though. We didn't give them the ability to just consume alcohol before.
Correct. Previous years, they actually requested to sell alcohol as well. This year, they decided against selling.
And so they just want to consume.
Just wanted to be able to consume.
And do we allow that consumption anywhere else for any other parties? Have we ever done that?
Other than Green Isle Park, where alcohol is, you're allowed to consume alcohol. Occasionally, there have been a few tournaments at Riverview Park that have requested sale and consumption of alcohol there. I believe there a kickball tournament by another organization last year, as well as the current kickball tournament previous years.
Okay. For audience's benefit, this is a request from the Greater Green Bay Chamber Current Young Professionals Group. Group of young professionals here in Green Bay, and they promote young professionals moving to the area, working in the area, living in the area. And they have a kickball fundraiser every year, and we've hosted it for several years. And they're requesting a waiver of about $125. So it's not a big dollar amount. They are using the concession stands, right? And do we have to do anything to clean it up, or do they...
No, we do not. They take care of all cleanup.
Okay.
With the exception of, we would empty the garbage cans like we normally do.
Okay. Do you know how much money they raise?
I do not. I reached out to the organization and did not get a reply to them. So, Brad, do you ever recall?
Okay. Any other discussion?
No, I was just going to say I'm a little disappointed that the target audience is 21 to 40, and I appear a little bit too old to participate. So other than that, I'll support it.
They need spectators.
Maybe you could be two players.
Just one question for Chris. Does the village incur any expense on this in terms of facilities use, maintenance? And I'll get right down to specifics. Are they using our restroom facilities and our...
That is correct. They are using restrooms, using electric, for lights and that, within the bathrooms and whatnot. We will not be spending any staff time prepping the facilities for them. We won't be dragging the diamonds, lining them, or anything like that. So, but there would be, use of the concession in the bathroom facilities.
Do we charge any nonprofit to use that facility? Do we ever charge a nonprofit?
Occasionally, there are nonprofits that would get a reduced fee. Many of our youth sports organizations are not charged a fee. We do have some other nonprofits that utilize some of our facilities without a fee being charged, such as Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, they hold meetings at a couple of our facilities. The Alloway Optimist Club, they run the Alloway Fest and utilize Green Isle Park and rent the pavilion down there.
Do we charge them for that, or do they pay for that?
We do not charge them for that. And then, village-affiliated committees and organizations, such as Alloway Beautification Committee, they have meetings and that within our facilities that are charged for.
But for using, ball diamonds and that stuff, why do we charge the $25 per field?
That would be, in our current fee structure, that would be what our practice fees would be, as a way to incur some revenue or use of the facility, such as the bathrooms and that type of thing. As the board would recall, we did vote to change the fee structure for 2017, which increases many of the fees and reorganizes some of the fee structure for such as tournaments. that fee would, which we didn't have a tournament fee, now will be installed in 2017. And as well, at the park committee meeting, it was decided that any waiver request would go before the park committee as a written request. Is that how you recall it, Trustee Edward?
Yeah, I sit on that committee as well, and we did talk about implementing this new fee structure in 2017. And it is in place. It was agreed upon. It was written, and waivers now will just be approved at the park and rec rather than bringing it to the board. But I think this would fall into that 2016, where everything is kind of status quo until the new plan kicks into place. But I think it's also fair to let them know that next year there will be a fee. They can put in a request to waive it again, but I, for one, will look very strongly at that. So, just because I think we have a general maintenance to those facilities that needs to be maintained.
We do, and we've had this discussion, fairness across, right? We don't charge a lot of money. And I think a waiver should be an exception rather than a rule. Any other discussion on that?
So just the upside of it, I think you're getting some young professionals into the community, showcase the community a little bit, maybe recruit a few to want to
agree
at some point. So it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that 170 or so people who answered the survey who've lived here from 0 to 5 years played kickball.
That's right.
Yeah. You never know. Okay, we have a motion on the table to approve the request for waiver. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
I think so. About the age.
Item 11, action regarding noise variance request from Resurrection Parish to allow music at Autumn Fest on August 28th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
It's got an annual event, right?
It's an annual event. To the best of my knowledge, we haven't had any, no problems. Our DEO feels comfortable.
Tough crowd over there.
Bishop Bob sends you. We have a motion on the table to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And we charge them $20.
Oh, that's them? For the license to sell.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we charge.
Yes.
Item 12A. Brent, can you go? And if I could have the mouse from you, Brent. Item 12A, open government, open records request. Why don't you just give me the mouse?
Chris, if you show up the front light, then it's kind of hard to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that would go before the correspondence.
Correct.
Okay. At the last meeting, we talked about open government and things of public interest are discussed in the public forum. And from time to time, we get quite a few open records requests. And when I feel, or when the board feels, if necessary, we'll bring them out into the public and talk to them. Last Thursday, as we talked about earlier, we had a public works meeting, but the public meeting to discuss public infrastructure of the future of Alloway. And the following day, we received an open records request from Mr. O'Rourke, and I show it to you here, the yellow part. This is an open records request under Wisconsin law. List of proposed sidewalks. Please send me a copy of the list of proposed sidewalks for the next 5 years in Alloway and the documents related to the proposed sidewalk on West St. Joseph at Riverside Drive, adjacent to the old Chapel Hill Apartments that will be built this year using over $450,000 in taxpayer TID funds. Second, so that's the open records request. Next, it says 5 year sidewalk list. The new sidewalk list in West St. Joseph sidewalk plan was supposed to be available at last night's public works presentation at St. Matthew's School. Unfortunately, only documents relating to roads, water mains, and sewer reconstruction projects were printed and on display. The reality is, there was no agenda item for sidewalks at that meeting. We were not supposed to be talking about sidewalks, but rather infrastructure, roads, sewer, reconstruction, and cost thereof. The next paragraph says there were many questions but few answers on the possible locations of the proposed sidewalks and pedestrian accommodations. Once again, that was not on the agenda. Residents were expecting answers about possible new sidewalks being built in their front yards. Residents have the right to accurate information. Empty promises and baby lies are symptomatic of bad government, and they should no longer be tolerated in Alloway. I thought it was important to talk about this. Once again, it wasn't on the agenda. There were two questions about sidewalks because Mr. Berndt opened up the floor asking questions. We're holding these meetings in support of open government and including our village residents. We had a lot of good comments, a lot of thank yous, but we did have two questions on sidewalks, and Mr. Berndt answered them to the best of his ability. We don't have a plan for 5 years, for the next 5 years on sidewalks. And it was also brought up by Becky Nyberg from our Bike and Ped Plan Committee meeting that the Bike and Ped Committee is working on a plan. So when that's ready, that'll come to the appropriate committees and ultimately the board to discuss that and put a plan into action. The reason for bringing this up is the open records request. An open records request is valid if there is such a document, and we're happy to give documents if they exist. But Mr. O'Rourke's asking for the plan for the next 5 years in Alloway for sidewalks. None exists. So our village clerk, in speaking to the, it was supposed to be talked about, or the sidewalks were supposed to be talked about, in the meeting notice our village clerk sent out to learn the next 5 year street reconstruction, water main, and sewer replacement projects. There was no discussion plan for sidewalks, nor was there any maintenance talks planned. So the response was, Jim, per the Director of Public Works, Craig Berndt, a list of sidewalks that might be built in Alloway in the next 5 years, plus the proposed sidewalk plan for West St. Joseph at Riverside Drive, does not exist. We do not have a five-year plan for sidewalks as part of the reconstruction projects. Any sidewalks added in the future will be part of the bicycle and pedestrian plan that is being worked on by the village. It surprised me that Mr. O'Rourke had the opinion that there was, because he sat right next to Becky Nyberg as she explained to the audience that they are in the process of putting together a plan. Following the response, we got an email, unlawful denial, so suggesting the village staff is being unlawful or breaking the law. The denial of open records request. I received your denial of open records request for a copy of the current plan on West St. Joseph Street sidewalk that I was informed by the village staff had recently been produced. I would ask Mr. O'Rourke at some point in time, and maybe after this discussion, when he was informed and by whom, because it does not exist. Repeat request. Please check the village electronic files for the current sidewalk trail plan for West St. Joseph adjacent to proposed. So he's basically saying he doesn't believe what we say. By that request, we could have our village clerk go through the village records, the electronic records, and charge Mr. O'Rourke something like $25 an hour to do that. I don't think that's an accurate or good use of taxpayer money when we know the records do not exist. Repeat request. Oh, I said that already. Going down, no consultant needed. I was informed at a public meeting that the village has produced a preliminary sidewalk plan for new sidewalks on West St. Joseph, and that the village no longer needs to purchase consulting services from Grafe for the West St. Joseph Street portion of the Arboretum Trail. I think Mr. O'Rourke is referring to our last village board meeting when it was said by our Mr. Berndt and or Trevor that we believe we have the resources required internally to engineer the Arboretum Trail. Is that correct, Mr. Berndt? And that we don't have to spend money on external consultants for that. For that, I thank our Public Works Director for saving the village some money. Unlawful denial. Once again, we're being accused of unlawfully denying him a record that does not exist. And I'm not going to pull out the open records law from the state of Wisconsin, but you can go and look. That's the main reason for denial. If it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. We don't have to create one. But we are creating one, and we'll give it to the appropriate parties when we do. Mr. O'Rourke wasn't happy with that answer. That's my editorial comment, and if it offends anyone, I'm sorry. It says, "Hi, Robin Penny. This is an email to Trustee Dart and Trustee Atwood. Can you find out why we do not have a five-year plan for sidewalks as part of the reconstruction projects? Jim Rafter will ask you to vote on the sidewalk planning issue on Tuesday at 6:30. I'm not asking anyone to vote on the plan. Let's go on. Once again, my editorial comment, trying a different approach. We get another open records request on July 30th at 8:39. Dear Debbie, open records request. This is an open records request under Wisconsin law. Current sidewalk plan. Please send me an electronic copy of and or a link to the current draft of the village sidewalk plan by the bike ped committee. The final draft of the bike ped plan should be ready by now. It's not. Jim Rafter has put a discussion on the sidewalk plan on the agenda for the next village board meeting. Accurate. On Tuesday, August 2nd, myself and Debbie Bainan, our village clerk, get a request. Dear Jim, open records request. This is an open records request under Wisconsin law. West St. Joseph Sidewalk. Is there a plan to install a sidewalk trail or to reconstruct West St. Joseph Street between Webster Avenue and Riverside Drive in the next 5 years? Please send me a copy of the village plans for a sidewalk that will be built in the next 5 years on West St. Joseph Street and Alloy. And Mr. O'Rourke goes on to inform me that Jim Rafter has placed an action item, some sort of vote regarding West St. Joseph Street reconstruction and sidewalk arboretum on tonight's village board agenda. Mr. O'Rourke, the official answer to your question is it does not exist. I bring this up not to hurt anyone's reputation because it's a public record, as when it's an open records request, it's a public record. And we talked about somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 emails that we've received collectively, the village board, the village staff, since the beginning of January from Mr. O'Rourke, with a lot of requests, repeat requests. By law, we have to answer these things. The village board can be held accountable if we don't do that. And we're spending taxpayer dollars. So once again, I make a request that make an open records request, but if it's denied for good reason, it's denied for good reason. That was a discussion item. I open it up. Is there any comment from the board? Not that I'm looking for any. I just wanted to bring this up and talk about it in a public forum.
There's not an agenda item for that on here, the five-year sidewalk plan, is there?
As a discussion? Oh, not the sidewalk.
Oh, no. No, we're not.
Okay.
Nope.
Didn't think so.
The suggestion is that, or the way I take these, is that we're hiding things, and we're trying to do anything but. We're trying to help our village residents know what's going on in the village. We hold these public meetings, and we answer to the best of our ability open records request.
There's some kind of snide comments in there about empty promises and baby lies, and that starts to approach slanderous kind of language. And I think we all need to be careful about that. I mean, I don't know what empty promises and baby lies we're talking about here, because they don't exist, to my knowledge, anyway.
Yeah, that's concerning to me as well. I think we have a tremendous village staff who works extremely hard. And I think we have a village board who works hard to support our public. And I do personally take offense to some of that. But with that having been said, we're here to address that. Anyone else? If there's no objection from the board, I'll suspend the rules and invite anyone from the public who'd like to speak. Yes.
Tony Van Diver, 709 East Alloway Avenue. Other than wondering what baby lies are, why don't we just tell him we can bill him $25 an hour for continued efforts on your part? This may stop it. Just what?
Thank you very much. And we have published a document to that effect. Anyone else? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was told by the village that as part of during my tenure on the bike ped committee, and I was also on the Alloway Walks committee prior to that. So I've been involved with pedestrian issues for a number of years as a volunteer. At the bike ped committee, staff had repeatedly said that there were plans for making east-west connections between the Fox River Trail and the East River Trail. One of those connections, to my surprise, was proposed on St. Mary's Street, and I don't think that there's any appetite for a sidewalk on St. Mary's Street, but that was repeatedly brought up at the Bike Ped Committee by village staff, so I thought that if the village is going to go ahead and put a sidewalk on St. Mary Street as part of the reconstruction process, that those people should know as soon as possible so that they can mobilize if they object to it. I was in a meeting here a number of years back, at which point during the prior administration, the concept of new sidewalks on Brook Ridge was introduced. One of the village board meeting members asked the staff member if the neighbors had been notified of it, and she quipped that, well, it was in the report we produced 3 years ago, you should know about it by now. And that was in the St. Francis School plan. Subsequent to that, on an election day, a meeting was held in the conference room, because this room was taken up, and the village board found itself surrounded by angry residents who were shocked that a sidewalk was being thrust upon them with no advance warning. And once again, it was said, well, it was in the plan from a couple years ago. So we spend a tremendous amount of money on plans, and we don't communicate between the different committees that we have. We have a planning committee, we have a bike ped committee, we have a public works committee, we have a parks committee, and there is no infrastructure for getting them to communicate or to read each other's reports that they pay for. So when I was on the chairman of the bike ped committee, I took it upon myself to attend everybody else's meetings, and as part of the public comments, I told them what we were looking at. And some requests were made that the Bike Ped Committee report directly to the Plan Commission, which is fully appropriate. We need a chain of command, and we need one organization in charge of the comprehensive plan, and that would be the Plan Committee. So if people have plans and they're in economic development and they want to see something on Bike Ped, the appropriate committee for making plans for the village is the plan committee through their comprehensive plan. So we need to respect the law. The village has a habit of running around, putting green stickers on people's brush in the front yard and sending them threatening letters to fine them $200 for not following the rules. Yet the village repeatedly violates the rules. And so I'm willing to put in writing where the baby lies are. And the baby lies are, it doesn't get any more of a, I call them baby lies. What the prior administrator called them were baby steps. But they were, I was there when those conversations took place, and I recognize a baby lie. And they're not big. They seem trivial. But when taken in aggregate, you come up with a big lie. So lots and lots of baby lies is what other people call baby steps. And that's where the problem is. So my open records request is when I see a flat-out lie, I hold the village accountable for producing the documents that they said that they were going to produce. And if a document doesn't exist, it needs to be documented that the record that those documents don't exist when in fact they should. So there was supposed to be a plan for an arboretum trail. The village approved money to spend money on the consultant, who was a very good consultant, to produce the arboretum trail. And instead of doing the arboretum trail, they pivoted it 90 degrees and decided that they wanted to do a TIF trail on Webster Avenue, which wasn't at all approved in the very beginning. So you converted the arboretum trail study to a TIF study on Webster, and that's your right, but that isn't what you said you were going to do. So once again, that's just one example of a baby lie. Another example of the baby lie is talking about the sidewalk that's going to be on St. Mary Street and not telling the people on St. Mary Street but telling the Bike Ped Committee that there's going to be one. So there's lots of things along that nature. And the village has a five-year plan for street reconstruction. The Bike Ped plan was supposed to document and come up with maps on where those sidewalks might be going in so the people in the neighborhood would know where they might be going so they could have some input, whether it's on the east side or west side of the street. And those maps aren't being created because the village got rid of the one person that took it upon himself to make sure that maps were being created. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this issue? Hearing none, we'll pick up the rules. Any other discussion from board? My only comment is I'm personally not aware of anyone on putting a sidewalk on St. Mary's. If that was ever to be the case, I'm guessing that would come to the board for approval and a lot of people in between, but it hasn't gotten there. Secondly, the prior village board and the village president who didn't listen to residents on the, what street was that?
Brookridge.
That was addressed by our village president at the time, Steve Ananava, who said he felt the village made a mistake, himself included, and said that we should have talked to residents earlier. And the village has committed to do so in the future. And lastly, taking a project that was planned to be a trail consulting project was not originally designed to be that. It was designed to be an intersection design of St. Joseph and Webster Avenue. And the village staff requested that we extend, I quite honestly requested that we do an arboretum trail project. Village staff requested that we go north and south along Webster because that's going to bring a bigger bang for the buck with commercial businesses that we're looking to bring into our town. And it involves more work. Is there a plan for an arboretum trail? There's one in the Grace study. They envision that. So if there's any document that speaks to that, and I believe Mr. Rourke's been provided with that, that document exists, and that's it. There have been discussions at at board meetings and committee meetings, but there is no plan. We'll get there. There will be a plan. We will provide that plan when it's appropriate. Anything else?
Well, I think we're fortunate to have some younger members of our community with us, and God bless them for sitting through all of this. But and maybe this is semantics, but baby lies to me sounds pretty negative, whereas baby steps, okay, we're working on things, you know, and things don't always go as smoothly as we plan, and they generally don't. But I don't think that there's anyone trying to lie or deceive or mislead or anything like that. So we try to promote keeping everything above board and keeping our communication as open as possible.
Anyone else? Thank you very much. Let's go. How do I do that? I'm a technologist. Item number 12B, action regarding, actually it's going to be a discussion regarding correspondence from residents stating that elderly and handicapped need a sidewalk on West St. Joseph in order to get to the businesses on Webster and to the Fox River Trail, and that the sidewalk should be funded by the developer rather than passing on the cost to Alloway taxpayers. In the same email that Mr. O'Rourke presented us on the open records request, he went on to discuss what he felt the need to be. And that is a sidewalk on the north side of St. Joseph to allow the folks, and I'm guessing when he suggests the elderly and handicapped, he's talking about folks who live in the condos on East St. Joseph, which I applaud that sentiment. The email says, Jim Rafter and the village board decided not to approve design funding for the Arboretum Trail despite repeated promises, assurances by staff that funding for the sidewalk trail plan on West St. Joseph was imminent. The elderly and handicapped need a sidewalk on West St. Joseph in order to get to the businesses on Webster and Fox River Trail. The Arboretum Trail funding was shifted to a different project by the village. This is an example, once again, of baby lies by the village. The point I want to bring up on this is we did not vote to not approve design funding for the Arboretum Trail because that was not an agenda item on the agenda for our last village board meeting. The agenda item was to approve the Grafe study for Webster Avenue, not to not approve a trail design. Next, Jim Rafter vote. Jim Rafter voted not to require the developer of Old St. Chapel to include sidewalks or other public pedestrian accommodations as part of the Old Chapel development. Instead, Jim Rafter and the village board agreed to have the village build the sidewalks as part of a possible West St. Joseph Arboretum Trail and to pass that cost on to Alloway taxpayers via the TIF and TID. First item of note, I didn't vote to not require the developer of Old Chapel Hill Apartments to include sidewalks. It wasn't brought to a vote. I voted to approve the plan as presented, and it did not include sidewalks. And I know I asked the question, other village board members asked the question, why wasn't there a sidewalk designed as part of that development? The answer is, because we're planning, we'd like to have an Arboretum Trail as defined in the Grafe study. I, for one, would think it to be terribly irresponsible to allow someone to build a sidewalk, pay for it, rip it out to build a trail. That's my own personal opinion. Others could say, well, build the sidewalk and add on to the trail, or make it a trail. I don't know. But personally, that's why I voted for the plan as designed. It said that all documents relating to the West St. Joseph sidewalk were missing from all public documents presented at village public meetings over the past 30 days, and we've discussed that. There is no written document regarding St. Joseph. One other thing I'm interested in understanding is that it's being said that that the developer should pay for a sidewalk. and that instead of charging the developer the money to build the sidewalk, we're passing the money on to, passing that cost on to our residents, the taxpayers. I personally don't see any difference between, I don't delineate between a developer property owner or an individual property owner. So my question would be, if we're going to charge property owners for sidewalks that the village says need to be put in, that means we're going to have to ask the people at 300 and 340 and all those addresses on St. Joseph to spend money on that sidewalk. In our village ordinance, in section 3.08 of our village code, it states that if, and I'm paraphrasing, if the village board deems a sidewalk necessary for the village, public safety, or whatever reason, the cost is borne 100% by the village. So we are not breaking laws. We're following our village code. Some will argue that we also have something in section 3.01 that says, when it's talking about pavement of a roadway or infrastructure such as pipes, water pipes, sewer pipes, that sort of thing, on personal property, if there is a need, that property owner needs to pay for that. It doesn't reference sidewalks. It also talks about how we can do that as a police. We can do it as an exercise of our police powers. I personally don't want to start a police state in Illinois. The third option for sidewalk installation is the PDD. So we could go through a PDD process, as has been done, I understand, in the past, and said, as part of the PDD, developer, you need to pay for that. Well, that can be done. I prefer to stick to the village code, not require that, because ultimately the taxpayers are paying for it. Whether we give it to them in a PDD, whether they charge it and they increase their rents or whatever. But village code allows us or directs us to pay for those improvements 100% by the village. That is my diatribe on that. Any discussion or any questions?
Nope.
Okay, if there's no objection by the board, I'll suspend the rules and invite the public up to speak. Mr. O'Rourke, would you like to speak on this?
Just so it's clear, the village is no longer going to charge developers for sidewalks. Did I hear tonight?
No, you didn't hear that. What's the deal?
It just needs clarification on under what circumstances the village does decide to charge developers for sidewalks and when they don't. For example, across the street, the village decided to charge Harry Michael for the sidewalk, is my understanding. I guess the village has the right to decide when, under what circumstances they're going to charge for sidewalks. That's my consideration, my concern.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I think it's fair to say that project across the street was a PDD, and part of that requirement did include sidewalk. So it's different than the project on West St. Joe's.
And I understand that to be the case. And the village board, just as we couldn't tell Mr. Bino we guarantee him an approved project, the village board can't say that from now on. As long as we have these things in place, the way I look at it is if we require it, I think we should. But it depends on each instance. Anything else?
Yes. In that section you were reading, didn't it refer to main thoroughways that the village pays for, like connecting trails? And it was specifically spelled out, and I don't have it in front of me, but It's for when there's major use to get to a major destination, mm-hmm. that the village would pay for those.
Yep.
Is that?
That was one reason for doing it. Yeah.
And I would say Arboretum Trail would certainly be something that the village is wanting to build. And
I would agree. And the reason I brought that up is because it's been insinuated or stated that we're doing back office politics and giving someone a great deal, and I don't think that's the case. I think that development is going to bring a lot of value to our village and increase the overall environment here. Mr. O'Rourke, I would like to ask a question. Would you propose charging the folks on East St. Joseph the money it costs to put that sidewalk in front of their place as well? Because to connect Webster to Riverside, we would need to have a sidewalk all the way through.
Chapel Hill is a PDD, just like Harry Mongo's PDD. That's a development under consideration, and that was a legitimate expense to ask the developer to go ahead and put in the sidewalk. If the village decides that they want to put a sidewalk in front of the condominiums, that should be a village expense. Those condominiums are already existing. Same thing with the sidewalks on Riverside Drive. New subdivisions, new developments going in, they're PDDs. As part of the PDD process, they should be required to have sidewalks. I believe that the American Disabilities Act is a very important act. I believe that we have a duty to give access to all of our public facilities to people in wheelchairs. And I know I've been told that there's one group of people that have to call a cab in order to get from one side of the street on Riverside Drive to the other side so that they can use the trail. So it's important that we have sidewalks. According to the American Disabilities Act, we have an obligation to make sure that all of our residents have fair, safe, convenient access to all of our public facilities. And that's what the American Disabilities Act goes, and that's why we should be putting in sidewalks. And whether a developer pays for it or whether the village pays for it, they should be put in the plans. Thank you.
Thank you. I share your passion for providing the sidewalks. Okay. Action item number 13, correct? Can we turn the lights back on?
Sure.
Debbie wants to take a nap.
Do we have to have action item 12?
No, we change it to a discussion. Action item number 13. Proclamation supporting the restoration efforts of the Red Chapel at the Alloway Catholic Cemetery. Do I have a motion on this? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve the proclamation as presented.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dennis. Any discussion?
There was a suggestion about adding brick to the name of Red Brick Chapel versus Red Chapel. Does that matter? I think everybody knows what we're referring to.
Do you think it does?
It doesn't to me, but there's some suggestion.
Okay. Well, it was a suggestion. Yeah, it was a suggestion from Mr. O'Rourke to change the name in the document. We can surely ask the Historic Preservation Group to consider that. Any other? And well, not to cut that off, but Mr. O'Rourke made a suggestion of changing the name in the document, because it would more accurately identify the building from a historical perspective in his mind. Any other discussion? I have a discussion.
I think it's fine.
I support historic preservation. But I don't think we should be in the, I don't think we should approve this. And not because I don't support the effort, but because it's not our discussion to be had. I'm sensitive to what went on between the diocese and the public back when they were dealing with the Chancery Building. And not that it became a public uproar, but I know there are a lot of emotions and a lot of things in the press about this, and that people are coming down on the diocese because they wanted to tear down the historical structure. And it created, I won't say an adversarial, but not a very comfortable environment. In an article in the Compass, which is the diocesan newspaper from August 1st, no, I printed it off on August 1st, but there was an article recently in the Compass talking about this, and I just bring this up for discussion purposes. The chapel, let's see. The head of the Brown County Historical Society, Chris Dunbar, explained that the chapel has been a historical society's watch list for a number of years. That means they watch these buildings and if they need repair or anything like that. Father Dan Felton, the vicar general from the diocese, explained that the diocese owns the building and that the Alloway Catholic Cemetery, or in the Alloway Catholic Cemetery. He said that Brown County Historical Society approached us and said that because they perceive the chapel as being of historical significance, and there are some features about it that are pretty cool, they would like to see if it's possible to preserve the building. A couple of meetings and the informal discussions followed, and the Historical Society is exploring the possibility of raising funds for the preservation and gathering volunteer masons, roofers, and architects. Dunbar explained that the Historical Society would act as a fiscal agent for the project, which means they will be in charge of fundraising. However, that fundraising is still in the exploratory stages. The cost of the project is still being explored. What is under consideration now, according to Father Felton, is preservation and not complete restoration of the chapel, so that it's preserved and still standing in 50 years, he explained. Currently, it's unknown exactly what the cost would be. Figures named have ranged from $140,000 to $200,000. In the meantime, Father Felton noted that the chapel's hole-ridden cellar doors would be covered for safety. Father Felton said, "We all agreed that since the Historical Society is in the middle of a capital campaign as well, that this can't be an open-ended project. If there are going to be people who step forward, if there are funders who are going to be interested, probably the middle of August is going to give us a good indication about whether or not we have people interested or not." In reading that article, it tells me that the diocese isn't fighting the idea. And actually, it sounds like they're supporting it if someone will pay for it. When I look at the charter of the Alloway Historic Preservation Committee, it says it meets, or this committee is responsible for designating historic landmarks, establishing historic districts, regulating historic landmarks, and all property within each historic district to preserve the historic landmarks and property within the district and the character of the district. My question is, has the Village of Alloway ever identified this property as a historic property? Because if not, I question the reason, or the reason why they're even doing this. I know that sounds harsh, but...
This was a building that was surveyed in our intensive survey, but it was not included in the intensive survey as eligible to the National Register or State Register. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hold any local historic value to it.
But it hasn't been designated as such.
Correct.
Okay. I surely don't support, or I don't have a problem supporting the efforts of both parties to try and come to an agreement. I don't know what a proclamation from this board does to do that, because they're already doing that. They're working together to come to a solution.
Well, I think the Historic
Preservation Committee, Alloway's committee last week talked about this and voted to support it. And I think it would just be our way of supporting their efforts. No strings attached in terms of Alloway not telling them what to do. I think we would respect the diocese in this case as a property owner, and it's their property. We simply go on record saying, hey, it sounds like there's a lot of people that would like to preserve it. If they're willing to come up with a plan and the diocese is willing to let them come up with that plan and maybe fund it, maybe not, I think it would just show our support for their efforts, knowing full well that the whole thing may not go. You know, they may not be able to come up with funds, and the chapel may have to be removed. I know there's some safety concerns and all the rest, but I think us supporting it is simply that, supporting their efforts to try to save it. I don't know that we'd be on the hook for anything other than that. And to answer your question, what's it worth? Probably just a nice piece of paper and a good feel kind of a thing. But sometimes that's important, you know, to say, hey, we support your efforts and go for it, and let's see where it goes. Maybe then give somebody else the impetus with a similar structure down the road to do something as well. So,
okay,
that's my thought.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Trustee Harris. Along the same lines, I'm looking at it as opposed to staying silent on the issue. We want the two groups to work together, even though they are. We are saying yes, please continue to do so. That's how I'm seeing it.
Okay. Anyone else?
President, that really is what this proclamation says, is that the two sides continue to work together. And I've been sitting in that ad hoc sessions of committees and working with the Brown County Historical Society, Chris Dunbar, and the other members in regards to the Red Chapel, as has Jim O'Rourke as well, has contributed. And the diocese, for all the reasons you've said, are where they are, and there's no difference in their position. And this has been an independent effort by the ad hoc committee, a subgroup of people, to try and put together, first for the diocese, a timeline along which they could work toward the restoration of the building, which is different than preservation. The preservation would be requiring a higher level of commitment to the building and what can be done, whereas restoration will keep it from falling apart. So there's a difference both physically as well as financially. And as far as the dollars and cents go, those numbers that were in that article, in fact, may be high. And that there is a report that is due out to which we, at some point, will have a copy of it, meaning the ad hoc, not the village, to find out what the actual dollars and cents are. The target date for the possible kickoff of a community campaign for fundraising purposes, independent of the diocese, independent of the Village of Alloway, independent of the Alloway Catholic Cemetery, is approximately August the 10th. That is the date that we have been looking at. The diocese had asked that a chronological timeline be laid out of the possibilities of what could be done and what the financial realities were behind it, whether it will happen or won't happen, say, how it would be done. As such, fundraising would begin. It would be sent to the, if the agreement is worked out, which I don't have the answer to, actually to the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation as the handler of the funds. They would gather those funds to be handled as a third person, non-entity, to be able to guarantee true process for the usage of those funds. And so we've been putting things together as best we can. There have been multiple people working on this. There are probably 16 to 20 people working on various aspects of this. And it is progressing. Dollars and cents are the bottom line. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. It may not. The answer will have to come within the next couple of days, obviously. Today is the 2nd, and the 10th is coming up. We will make a public statement at that point in time about what is viable or isn't viable, depending on what the returns are on the estimates for the repair. First thing being necessary to be repaired was the roof and the soffits and fascia underneath, because there was a certain amount of damage that had been done there, and to secure the purposes of winter. There's also top plating that needs to be done. But other aspects of it that have been mentioned previously were not really as crucial to restoration of the building is what people thought. So there's a lot of ifs, there's a lot of unknowns at that that are involved, but the point being that everybody's still talking, everybody's still communicating, everybody's trying to all go in the same direction. It may still well end up being that it won't happen, but we're all going to do as much as we can to keep it in the community.
I appreciate that. And, if both parties, I just don't think we should get into the middle of things. Mm-hmm. And but my main concern is when we say in the last paragraph that we support an agreement between the two above mentioned organizations on a long-term restoration plan. So that's saying that we're saying we want the plan, we want it to be restored as a village. And if we do, we do. The spirit, as I'm hearing, is really we're supporting the effort between the two parties mm-hmm. to come to an agreeable solution. We have a motion to accept, and a second, I would propose an amended motion to change the word "in agreement between" to support the efforts of the two. That's my amended or substitute motion. Is there a second for that, or are you happy with the first one? Basically, what that's saying is I support the effort that they're going through, but I don't support, I'm not saying I want a certain outcome.
I'll give you a second on that. On the amended.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know. Mr. President, it should also be noted that there is no legal preponderance upon this document. Cited as a proclamation, it is no different than to say I claim that tomorrow is Jim Rafter Day.
I'll second that. Okay.
That was yesterday. You missed it.
No, I understand that. But if I'm putting my name, if this board is putting its name to something, I would suggest that we do things that we really believe in. And I know a lot of people on this board and in this village are behind this, and I'm good with that. I just wanted a little tweak. Trustee Harris.
It might be semantics, but what's... If it seems like we're downgrading our opinion on it, going from an agreement to efforts.
That is correct. Because I support their effort. What we're saying, what I read into this in the original context, is that we're supporting an agreement, meaning the diocese will agree to move forward and restore the building. And I personally don't want to take sides on this matter.
Mr. President, the diocese is not mentioned in that paragraph.
The two parties. Alloway Catholic Cemetery.
Alloway Cemetery and Chapel Mausoleum is separate from the diocese itself as far as being an entity, because there is no relationship in regards to the Historical Society working with the diocese. The diocese has had input on this all the way along. We have taken everything that they have said and have worked with them mm-hmm. To make sure that we respect what they want. However, the cemetery is a separate entity. It's not the diocese. And they wanted, and that's part of the reason why this was structured the way it was. I mean, I'm not arguing with you. You can say whatever you want. But there really is no, as I said, there's no legal preponderance behind this.
Okay. He thinks I'm all wet.
Well, I think it's something that you've got to be comfortable with, because the ultimate signature that, even though it represents the board, is going to be yours. And if it's a matter of an agreement versus the efforts, I'm okay with the change. It still says the same thing.
Yep. I was hoping it would meet the spirit of the agreement, but I'm guessing that a lot of people disagree with that. How do we take a vote on two separate motions? We can't do that.
This was a substitute motion.
Yeah, substitute motion.
And an amendment.
Okay. Take that off.
I was just questioning how you would.
Okay. You know what?
I'm going to withdraw my motion.
But I'm on record. I really do. I love the idea. I don't think we should be in between two parties, and I don't want the two parties to think we're doing it as a village board.
And I don't think that the meeting group thinks that at all. They are only seeing this as a pat on the back saying, go for it, guys. Recognizing also that that paragraph says that if it comes to the point that nothing can be done, that that point also would be an agreement. So there is no delineation of you have to or you don't have to.
I'll buy that.
I'm glad.
We have a motion and a second.
Well, I'm withdrawing my support to your original motion to change the wording on the document.
Thank you.
I'd like to support the original motion.
Debbie, do we have to, as a point of order, do we have to reinstitute the original motion?
So we have you and Dennis moving to approve. Get back to the original.
Okay, the motion on the table is to approve the proclamation as presented to this board prior to all my comments. And the second.
And snickering from Snap.
And duly noted. But this is, I take this seriously.
Oh, no, yes, I agree.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes. Can't make it easy.
Yep, you bet.
Item number 14, action regarding naming the Webster Avenue Bridge. As many of you know, we have a construction project going on Webster Avenue right now where the bridge over the railroad tracks is being or has been torn down and being completely rebuilt. Some in the village have seen this as an opportunity to use this as a way to recognize someone or something in our village and an opportunity to name the bridge. So the agenda, I'll turn it over to Brad. Well, I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve the process, get started for naming the Webster Avenue Bridge. Or that we agree to name the Webster Avenue Bridge and identify the process for doing such.
Shall we say consider naming the Webster Street Bridge?
I've been in contact with Brown County. And it certainly is a part of it. It's totally up to the village if we so choose to name the bridge. What they need to know is, if we're going to do that, they'll prepare us an area for the plaque to go up, because that's typically what would happen. A plaque would go on the bridge itself. And they just need to know, are we going to prepare for that plaque or not? And is it a 6x9? Yeah. Is it a 9x12 plaque? Probably a 6x9. You know, you're not looking at trying to create something that people are going to try to meet us or driving by. But it would be large enough that you, as you're walking by, you can easily read it. What the time frame that I need to let them know will be the end of August, so that they can start to prepare for that as well. Now, if the naming of the bridge took us longer, at least the area would be set aside, and the naming could take place at a later date. The idea was to try to coordinate it with the grand opening of the bridge. And you could have a particular ceremony recognizing the name or the whatever the case is of the bridge, if it's a name or if it's whatever.
So what kind of motion would you like from the board?
I guess, do you support naming the bridge? And if so, I would recommend that 6x9 plaque and set up a process that nominations would be accepted up through you can do it for the next 2 weeks, or you could do it till September, the first meeting of September, and then select the name that has been presented. You can ask people to submit the name that they're wanting it to be and justification as to why.
I'll make a motion that we approve naming the Webster Avenue Bridge, and that we allow input from village residents or nominations for the name of the bridge to be held for the next 2 weeks, or until the first week of September, at which time the village board will take a vote on it.
That would be a Penny's birthday.
Maybe we name it
Penny Dark Bridge.
I think you got the Dark Bridge.
Submit your application. Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood, any discussion?
Yes.
Trustee Harris.
I didn't know what exactly all the details of what we were going through. So is there any sort of formal name to the bridge today other than just commonly known as the Webster Avenue Bridge or the bridge on Webster Avenue? Okay, so there is nothing like that. And the proposal would be something embedded in the side on both the, my direction is straight, north and south walls where you could see, or just on a single side?
On a single side.
Okay, and then any, two more, any signage visible for drivers or only walking? I think you said just into the side of the...
Based on a 6x9 sign, most likely you wouldn't see it as you're driving.
I didn't know an idea of putting up any others. And then I'll take the hypothetical, get zero applications, or we decide it's not appropriate, could we go back to the DOT and say, never mind, we're not going to put a plaque?
We could always put Webster Street Bridge on it at that point in time.
Okay, that's...
That's our fallback.
And just for clarification, I don't think it's... Yeah, if we don't get a nomination, we can select a name as well. So it's not forced to the public to provide nominations. We're just making it open.
I think there's probably some ideas out there already.
Okay. I'm just thinking out loud.
Thank you. Any other input? Discussion? If there's no objection, we'll suspend the rules and invite the public to speak. Jody, would you like to speak?
Jody Van Diver, 709 East Holloway Avenue. For those of us who are older, we just like to have it kept Webster Avenue Bridge. When you name it after somebody, we can't remember which bridge that is. Please, for the older people, just Webster Avenue Bridge. Thank you.
How about the one formerly known as?
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other folks from the public wanting to talk? What about our two young men? Do you have any ideas? No?
We'll go with Adidas.
What's your first name?
We'll name it after you.
Do you think we should name the bridge? What about you?
If you'd like to score points, say it's named after parents.
Okay. Just thought I'd give you a chance.
Are you gentlemen here tonight with your family for to specific purpose, or is this something that
some punishment
scout program?
Civics lesson.
Excellent.
You got a lesson tonight.
I thought maybe it was a punishment for doing something.
Well, thanks for attending.
Next time, I'm offered to cut the lawn.
Okay, we'll pick up the rules. If there's no other discussion, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 15, consent agenda. If there's no opposition, we'll take A through E, the approval of operator's license, the approval of election inspector, approval of village board minutes dated June 21st, July 5th, and July 5th. Accept and place on file minutes from Historic Preservation Committee, dated 6/22, Board Appeals, dated 7/11, Public Works, dated 7/13, and approval of accounts payable, dated 7/8, 7/15, 7/21. Do I have a motion to this item?
Motion consent.
Trustee Dennis, seconded by Trustee Genrick. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 17, information on Webster Avenue streetscaping. Mr. Fuller.
This is just a follow-up to the action item from last meeting. This is kind of showing you what the idea is behind what we're trying to accomplish on Webster. What we're asking Grave to come up with is a idea of how to utilize the road width we have and where we can put certain amenities, how we can dress up that location, and how we can integrate that with the current businesses or future businesses. So these are just examples of past completed projects that they have worked on. So again, just four examples of different communities that worked in within the state. Kind of shows you the streetscaping ideas that we're kind of trying to come up with and find out where they're best appropriate. Craig, I don't know if you want to add anything.
If you go back to that first slide. It's just an example of some of the features that you might consider. And the idea, the objective is to come up with the preference that the board and the village have for how do you think you want this to look in the future. And then from that, of course, then at some point, if there's a project that goes ahead, then it would be more of an engineering activity than a planning activity. And if you look at this picture, you're looking at kind of a perspective view of a downtown. Part of what would be done would be to develop a view from the top. So not only would you be looking at what the features look like in something like this, in a picture like this, but also looking at it from the top so you can kind of see the layout and extent of what a future project would be. So we just wanted to do this to give you a little thumbnail sketch of what some of the other communities did and just kind of what it looks like, give you an idea of what we're trying to come up with. There will be a couple of meetings during this, and I think when those meetings take place, we would invite you to participate in it. We'll give you a chance to see what some of the ideas are and have some input to it, like we did with the workshops for Riverside Drive. An hour or two session a couple times during that planning process before it even comes to the board. So that the ideas that you have and the options that you see, you have input to those at an early time in the process. But anyway, this was just to kind of give you a little bit better view of what we're trying to accomplish.
Thank you. Any questions? Do you have a question, Mr. Dennis?
Yes, Mr.
Go for it.
Recognizing that there's nothing, we've done nothing at this point, could you scroll down just a little bit? I'm curious what the dollar amount on there that they spent.
That dollar amount also includes the road bed, the construction.
I was just curious. I mean, that doesn't mean we spend that kind of money, and I realize that, recognize that, and there are no plans to move forward. I was just curious what they paid for that.
Any other helps. Questions for Trevor?
Trevor, any idea why those squares are on there? Those white squares on the road?
That's just a that's a pedestrian crosswalk design. Different way to draw attention to
Any other comments? Trustee Genrick, do you have any comments?
I find it interesting that this is in Whitefish Bay, and during the community meetings that we held, or that Grave held, for community input, several people mentioned they would like our downtown, if we ever had a downtown, to look like Whitefish Bay, because it's a neat look. And I would agree. I think that's a neat look.
Any other comments? Questions?
Thank you, sir. When should the... What's the timeline of that project?
We should be starting this winter sometime. Okay.
When?
Workshop. There's a lot going on outside, right?
Very good. Thank you very much. Item number 18, adjournment. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart. Do I have a second? Trustee Genrick. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.